Welcome to the Joy Felipe Bruce Podcast. Sister Joy Felipe is a daughter of Bishop Dyke Heward Mills and the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Cathedral of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. The Fountain of Life Cathedral is a thriving church of young, energetic people full of life for the Lord. Sister Joy is also an itinerant minister of Dyke Heward Mills Ministries. She travels extensively, holding pastors' conferences and bringing ministry-related books by Bishop Dyke Heward Mills to the nations. She is the evangelist of the Blessed Salvation Crusade. Now be blessed and refreshed as you listen to this inspired message by Sister Joy.
This morning we have been blessed so much to have one of the greatest people to come and preach to us this morning. I'm very excited, I'm humbled, and I'm honored. I think it's a good place to rise to your feet this morning. Oh yes, this morning the word of the Lord is in the house, the spirit of the Lord is in the house, and the Lord's anointed is in the house this morning. Help me welcome our mother, the bishop of our souls, E.S. Joy Felipe Bruce.
Another time in your house. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us, that you will visit us. I pray, Lord, that you will talk to us. May we never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. You want to take your seat in the presence of the Lord? Well, it's the Sunday before Midsummer. You can be asking your neighbor, what's your name? And ask your neighbor, what course you do? And ask your neighbor that, Charlie, the Muslims, how? Are you ready? Are you ready? Some people, as they're asking, are you ready? They're looking straight, so we assume they're not ready. Hallelujah. Beautiful. Agenda 5 is on. Ask your neighbor. So last, this past week, how many hours were you doing a day? Averagely. If your neighbor says 4, tell them you're not serious yet. You haven't caught the revelation yet. And then ask your neighbor that, did you work past school? Did you work some past questions? The way some of you are looking at me, I can see that the answer is no. Hey, come again. Your neighbor is laughing, so you are scared. Hallelujah. Well, we thank God for how far he's brought us, and I believe that it's going to be a good week. I asked you to come with your group mates, your group study mates, because, I mean, you cannot just be happy on your own. Are you there? When you are studying with people, you all want to do well. Or you want to be the only blow man there. Because I'm not sure some of you invited anybody. Anyway, this Sunday, we are starting a new series. I also want to announce that starting from this coming week, I know you are doing midterm, so I'm telling you that we have a Tuesday service here starting from this coming week. I'm not expecting you because I know that you will tell me you are studying. But I think you need to know. Or you shouldn't know. You should know or you shouldn't know. Yeah, every Tuesday. We are usually here, but since school began, things have been coming up. So we haven't done it, but we are resuming on Tuesday. Amen. Oh, I said amen. Beautiful. Now, this month, we're going to be dealing with another topic over the next 3-4 weeks. And it's a very, very important topic. It's not about your exams. Tell your neighbor that there's life out there. It's not about exams. It's life out there. And I'm going to start by telling you a story. All right. Now, There's a man by name William Booth who was born long before you and long before your grandparent. William Booth is the man who was very, He was very much into helping people and loving people. Are you there? And he started what he called a mission. Initially, they were called the Volunteer Mission. And he believed very strongly that people would respond to the love of God, the love of Christ. So one of the main jobs that we have as believers is to love people. Are you there? Ask your neighbor that you cry. Do you love people? Do you love people? I wonder. Your neighbor cry. You have not minded your neighbor. Are you there? So he founded this movement and it was doing very well. And then one day he was writing a letter and he put in the letter. He was writing to somebody and he said that we are a volunteer army. And then his son was there and his son said, "Maybe I'm not a volunteer. I'm a regular. I'm a regular in the army of the Lord." And that's when he changed the name. Yeah. And this guy now changed the name of the Volunteer Army to the Salvation Army. How many of you have heard the name Salvation Army before? Beautiful. And the Salvation Army was, it grew to be a very, very powerful group of people. They're in 134 countries. Today, we only know of them as a charity organization. But at the beginning, they were very, very, very potent soul winners. Are you there? So much as they had the charity part, they also had the soul winning part. Now, a time came when William Booth had become older. He wasn't so well. But every year, he used to have a gathering of his leaders. And it was around Christmas time, and he gathered his leaders. But then he realized that, Charlie, where they were, where he was in his state, he would not be able to reach there. Are you with me? This was before the days of the kind of aeroplanes that we use. Because nowadays, when you're going from somewhere to somewhere, even with the aeroplanes, we get tired. So if you can imagine that you're now going to sit on a boat or a ship in 2 months before you reach there, Charlie, you can easily die on the way. So when they gathered, he decided, he sent a message and said he's not able to come. You imagine that we have come together for a convention, then the speaker is not able to come. They said, "But I'm going to send you a telegram." Tell your neighbor that this was before mobile phones. It was before fax machines, which most of you don't even know at this time. Fax machines is just a few years ago, but some of you have never seen it before. How many of you have never experienced a fax machine? You haven't seen it before. Oh, you see, many of you are liars. Your hand is down. You haven't seen it before because they went out. Fax machines were very popular in the 1990s when some of you were not born or you were walking around in diapers. And what do you mean by you know what a fax machine is? See your face. See your face. Anyway, all those things were not there. Even phones were not as it is today. What was there was telexes, telegrams. And a telegram you paid per word, you see. So he said he was going to send them his message. So they were waiting for the message that their leader would send. And finally they gathered together. The telegram came. They were expecting that it would be a preaching. Are you there? The sermon, or at least a proper title. I can remember the title of some interesting messages. "The rain-beaten eagle has been mistaken by the chickens to be a vulture." It's the name. Oh, it's the name of a sermon. "The rain-beaten eagle has been mistaken by the chickens to be a vulture." It was a very powerful prophetic sermon. Are you in the church? So at least they were waiting for something to come. And before they knew it, it was just one word. Others. That's all. He didn't say anything else. Just the word, others. Are you in the house this morning? You see, that's why I told you that this morning is not about you. It's not about you. Can you push your neighbor and say it's not about us? For the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about others. Because others are important. Yeah, others are important. And many of us don't care. Many of us don't care. This morning, I'm going to give you a small flashback into the Ten Commandments, and then I'll show you something. When last did you read the Ten Commandments? I don't even want to ask you where it is in the Bible, because you will not be able to tell me. But I want to show you something. Let's just go through it. You see, the Lord gave Moses 10 laws, which, just in case you think It doesn't matter. It really matters. Those same rules, they are still there. Only that they've come in a different form, but they are there. Let's take a look. He said what? Thou shalt have no other gods. Oh, you cannot see it. Can you read it? Okay, so the first one is what? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay, next one. You see why we feel righteous? We feel that we haven't made any graven image. But some of us, we are worshipping money. Some of us are worshipping grades. Some of us are worshipping our mobile phones. You'll be there and be feeling good. What's the next one? This one too, we do it regularly. Something happens, you say, Jesus. True or not true? Let's continue. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That one too, we don't obey. It's true, it's not true. Have you not been going to class, some of you, on the Sabbath? Working on the Sabbath? It's rather the day that is for God. That's the day that's when you don't have time for him. You come and sit here, you'll be timing as that, eh? I've come to church, it's 1.5 hours. Are you in the church? Ask your neighbor, what have you been doing with your Sunday? What have you been doing? When you have to spend it on God and for God and with God, you are complaining. And the service, so why is it that I'm running to church? And then, the Lord has to have mercy on us, oh, I tell you. Because these are the things he wished for and he was telling us. Then he goes on, he says what? Honor your father. Have you been doing it? I don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Yeah. Because some of you have excuses. But my mother and my father, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. He didn't even say love. He didn't even say like. He said honor. I think one day we have to preach about. Because the way it is, you know. It goes on. We're just going through the 10. Thou shalt not kill. Next one. Say neighbor. You see, you've been saying that it's past, though, that the way Christ Jesus has come, so now that it is past. Is it past? Next one. This morning, crowd, the thieves have come to church. If you like, leave your phone on the chair. When I got up this morning, I came to church. I was holding my phone and my iPad. As I'm coming to preach, I had to give my phone to somebody to keep. Because if I leave it, even though there are people around me who don't steal, they will be standing there. They will know when somebody, tell your neighbor, somebody. Yeah. It is what we have seen it before. In one of our major churches in Accra, service was over. The bishop's wife, she got up. She was just greeting somebody. They were all around. When she turned, her phone was gone. Right, from here. Hey! Ask your neighbor, they saw the thieves, are they born again? The next one. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Tell the person, stop lying. And the last one, number 10. Thou shalt not covet. Some of you are looking at your friend's phone. That's why you are desiring something. You are looking at your friend's wig. You see. Now, the truth of the matter is that if you look at these two, these 10 commandments, they fit into two boxes. One box are the things concerning God. The other box are the things concerning your neighbor. Yes. Those are the two boxes that they fit into. So tell your neighbor that others are important. Right from the Old Testament, others were important. Amen. But Jesus, when he came, he gave us He put it together and he says, let's go to John 13, 34. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Is it working or it's not working in the house? I don't know if it's working. It says we should love one another. Some of us, before we've come this morning, we have quarreled as we are coming. Yeah. Are you there? We are not correct. And you see, this rule that he gave, or this, he was just putting everything shortly. Are you there? If you remember, he told us that there are two commandments, love God, love your neighbor. Are you there? So this is sort of like broadening it out. So even though he calls it a new commandment, it's new, but it's not new. It's implied in the new, in the Old Testament. But you see him say clearly here, I've given you a new commandment. Love each other. Love each other. Are you there? The way some of you are looking, I wonder. And you can see that for years, history has shown us that the only thing that we have done is to quarrel with each other. Yes. Church history is full of violence. It's full of violence. And instead of loving each other, we killed each other. You didn't know? Hey, people were killed because I don't believe the way you believe. I don't believe. When some people woke up and said, we dear, we don't believe in this sprinkling that you sprinkle. Baptism is by immersion. They were killed for it. You see, in Jesus' time, it was by immersion. Then a time came when the Christians had to run. They were under persecution and they fled. And they went into the mountains and they went to places where they couldn't get water. That's where baptisms began, and it was a sprinkling. Are you there? Then it became like a church culture. So now when the time came, God always brings his truth back. So when he brought his truth back and said that, no, it is by baptism. He said, hey, what do you mean? If you say you are Baptist, then they'll catch you, they'll tie blocks to your legs, and then they'll drop you inside. Say you say you want to be baptized, then they'll drop you inside, and they kill people. You are there or you are not there? Instead of loving each other, we have become practiced at splitting each other up. Yes. And we have carried it to the point of nonsense. We have even used it to define salvation. Is it true or is it not true? Some of you, when you came to this church and you saw people dancing on the stage, you were condemning us in your heart. What kind of church is that? What kind of church is that? Why are the people dancing on the stage? Meanwhile, the people who are dancing on the stage, they have won more souls than you by their dancing. And you are standing there in judgment. Because so where you came from, it wasn't like that. It's okay to have a different culture, but it's not a reason to put somebody else in a bucket. Are you there or you are not there? I'm showing you some of the things we used to divide ourselves. They say if you die duku, you are going to heaven. So according to them, this one with the duku is on the way to heaven. And this one, like this church there, we are hot to pay. If salvation is by duku. Are you there? What about the guys who have braided their hair? I'm just showing you. Oh, you haven't heard such things before? I want to ask you, so what was the use of Jesus dying? If salvation was dependent, then the women there, as we are braiding our hair, I don't know whether we are in or out. We have made salvation about that. Tell your neighbor, cultural preference is a cultural preference. Don't make it the reason why somebody will go to heaven or not. Hey, the church is very quiet on me. Is it true or is not true? What about how we dress to come to church? Pastor of the church said, you are not going to heaven today. Oh, you are not going to heaven because you are not wearing a jacket. Is it true or is it not true? You see, when you even think about it, it's a problem. We have used all these things just to divide the church. Just to divide the church. Are you there? Look at your neighbor. Well, ask your neighbor that according to the things we are talking about, are you going or... It's not only the men who should wear formal wear. The ladies, you have come to church in trousers. Trousers. Then my lady pastor cried, she said, Muko baby, you are not going anywhere. Yeah? These things are real. We have used them to divide the church. Yes. It's true or it's not true? You are very quiet. Oh. I wonder what you are thinking about. Yeah. So much so that for some of us who preach in different places, I never put on trousers to go there. I own them never, because I can be coming with pure gospel. You're not even here. She said, you have bundled me to heaven, to hell, because I'm wearing trousers. What about the piercings? The piercings. Can you please look at your friend's ear? If you are sitting by a lady, how many earrings is she wearing? The head, salvation depends on it. What are you talking about? Now, if you have problems with piercings, then anklets, eh? Okay, somebody is going to heaven because she's not wearing an anklet. Does it make sense to you? Hey, Pastor, what are you saying? Are you saying that we can... Listen. Don't start to open a box. I'm just showing you what is not salvation. Jesus came to just come and look and see whether you're wearing anklet or not. You see, we have made nonsense. We have made nonsense of the gospel. You should have Jesus in your bio. Say some Jesus words. Just put the word Jesus there. Then it's acceptable. I mean, I'm a God girl. I'm a Jesus girl. Meanwhile, you and Mary Magdalene will be ashamed of you. Pastor Abbe says you don't know Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was somebody out of whom Jesus Christ had to cast how many demons? She had some 70, what? Eh? 7 demons. Yeah. Because Charlie, she was all over the place. And so Jesus delivered her. But even she will be ashamed of you. But you have put the Jesus in your bio. Then you have appeared there like something. Ah, it's true or it's not true? Jesus is for everybody. Then we have the cliches. Oh, God, dear, he understands. God understands. God knows all things. Meanliness is next to godliness, you know. We have made our own gospel. Or you have not heard these things. But that's not what Jesus said. Tell me, but that's not what Jesus said. Let's go to what Jesus said. John chapter 13 and verse 35. John 13, 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How? If you have love one for another. Not if you wear trousers or you don't wear trousers. Not if you have plaited your hair or you haven't plaited it. Not if you have earrings on or you don't have earrings on. Not if your dress is long or your dress is not long. Not if. All those things, he didn't mention them. He said, the thing that will make people know all over this world that you are my disciples is that you have love one for another. And for some reason, we can't seem to understand it. We can't seem to understand it. Are you in the church? Yeah. Ask your neighbor, the neighbor, how? Yes, I'm sitting by you. I can see you don't love me. Are you there? You see. And I wonder how much we love others. How much we are even sure that others exist. This particular generation, right now in the world, we are consumed with ourselves. And most of us, the only thing we think about is ourselves. And I came to tell you this morning that is the reason for your depression. It's the reason for your depression. That's why you are depressed. Because you're only thinking about yourself. And God knew how we were made. And that's why he was telling us the way to live is to love another person. To spread the love of God elsewhere. It will help us to think less. And honestly, today the church is inside this. Zero love. If you want to know meanness, come to church. Wickedness, come to church. Evil, come to church. Are you in the house? Yeah, but Jesus said if we have love, yes, the love that we have for one another, our concern for another person, that is what defines our Christianity. And that's even what makes people attracted to us. Are you there? Hey, you are very quiet. But you see, because right now what has happened in the church is that we come to church because we want to receive something. That's why prophetic meetings are always the largest. Because we want something from God. Everything is about ourselves. You wake up in the morning, myself, me, my, and I. That's all that is important. And because of that, our lives are so shallow. And we have brought it into church. So when we are in church and we have to do something for God, it's too much. It's too much. Because I came for what I will get. Are you there? I can see that you're not happy with me, but the truth is I don't mind. I really don't mind so much. I really don't mind so much. You see, it is also the reason for a lack of power in the lives of many Christians. Because there's no love. You have a center leader, but it's numbers you are thinking about. There is no love. There is no love. You are not going visiting because you love. You are going visiting because if you don't go and visit, the person won't come. Are you in the church? You have even forgotten that other people exist. Do you know that other people exist? Hello? You are in the room with your roommate. You don't even care. I have had people who are in their room, they are not well, and I've had to call somebody from somewhere to go and look for them. Meanwhile, there are human beings in the same room who propose, who say that they are also believers. Yeah. It was not like that with Jesus, though. Jesus was very concerned about other people. Throughout, you know, that's why I asked Shelisa to sing the song she sang. Say, I want to be like Jesus. We're not like him. We're not like him. Are you in the church? Why are you quietly looking at me like that? Many of us are distracted by our problems. Are you here? Many of us, we are concerned about our own things. And I'm sharing with you that we feel that we have problems and we are distracted by our own problems. True or lie? So I have some news for you this morning. And I want to share with you a scripture in Job chapter 14 and verse 1. And I want to share with you that your problems are not about to go anywhere. Job 14 and verse 1 says, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. That's why your problem of last year, it may have been sorted out, but there's another problem this year. Is it true or is it not true? Yes. Hey. You're nicely quiet. That's why I'm so happy to be preaching this message on the day before your exams. Because as you are sitting here, you're thinking that the only important thing are my exams. It's not true. It's not true at all. Your exam is just a drop of water. It's over in a week. It's gone. It's past. Monday to Friday, that's it. People who came to school thinking that they are coming to do a big year course, after 6 years, they are done. It's just a fleeting time of your life. And you want to make your whole life about that. You see, some of you, you are so some way that is almost demonic. No, it's true. I'm sorry, but it's true. And I'm saying it from the pulpit, so I don't have to say it to you personally. I want you to be able to think it through. Jesus was not like that. He was always concerned about other people. You see, one of the most surprising times in the life of Jesus was just around the time he was being captured. You know, this is the time when they went to meet him at the Garden of Gethsemane. They had even arrested him. And as they were arresting him, he saw that somebody's ear was bleeding. And he said, oh, hold on. I know you want to hold my hands, but you wait, eh? Let me heal this man first. Meanwhile, his problem was bigger than that guy. It's like they're about to cane me. They're about to lash me. They're about to strip me naked. They're about to nail my hands. But here you are thinking about somebody's ear. Are you there? When he was now up there in pain and waiting to die, the Bible says that he saw his mother. Now, historians believe that by the time Jesus was being crucified, that his father had already died. We don't hear of Joseph again after he was 12 years old. And around that time, they say that life expectancy was like 35 of a man, a normal man. So we don't hear of Joseph again. He looks at his mother. He's concerned that she's going to be alone. Then he looks at the Apostle John. Apostle John was just about 19. He was about 16 years old when he met Jesus. So he was like 19 years old. This boy is going to be alone. As I'm going, he's not yet married. He has no parent to take care of him. Then he just organizes them, does his counseling from the cross. Mother, that's your son, eh? Son, that's your mother. As he's on the cross. Young girl, we are thinking of ourselves. I'm dying. Not Jesus. He was organizing people there. He was organizing people over there. As he was hanging on the cross, they had put one thief here, the other one here. Said, can I get one soul to just slide into heaven? One more soul. One more opportunity. That was Jesus. Are you here? That was Jesus. Others. We can do a lot, but we don't do it. But that's why I'm sharing with you about others. Are you here? Meet the killer point here for me. Of Jesus on the cross. He was looking at the people killing him. Then he starts to pray. Oh, Father, these people, forgive them all. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Don't hold it against them. Allow them. As he's up there. I ask your neighbor, please, which cross have you hung from? The problem you are carrying, can it be compared to the problem Jesus was carrying over there? And yet he was thinking about others. You and I, what excuse do we have? When we get to heaven, what are we going to say? What are we going to say? Lord, I was only concerned about my first class. I was only concerned that I'll get good marks. Lord, I was only concerned that the girl will like me. Lord, I was only concerned about my school fees. Lord, I was only concerned about my accommodation. Lord, Hey, even as I'm preaching, I feel like hiding my face. Are you in the house or you're not there? You see. And contrary to what we think that people are not doing wild things. People are doing very wild things. Very, very wild things. There was a pastor. He was, in fact, at a point, he was the largest pastor, or his church was the largest church of Asian Americans. You can Google him, Francis Chen. Francis Chen had a very nice church, and generally, he was where most of us want to be, that you are a popular person, everybody knows you, when they mention your name, people gather. He was a conference speaker, he had a very wild Bible school, but you see, one time he opened his Bible, he said, it's not it. Because as I'm in the church now, let's change the carpet. The carpet is green, let's change it to blue. Let's go and change the lights. No, it's not it. The guy called his assistant, said, the church, I take that shoe. He walked away together with his wife. And they went to Hong Kong and went to find some place. His mother was originally from Hong Kong. And he went there to just go and minister to people. And let me pour out my life for these people. He only came back to the U.S. when after a while they refused to give him a visa. Are you in the house? And that's why I'm sharing with you this morning about others. Point number one, the first thing I want you to know is that others exist. Oh. Others exist. Can you tell anybody you're not the most important thing in the world? Others exist. Others exist. Many of us, we live like nobody's there. We are the most important thing in the world. Is it true or not true? Everything in your life is about you. Ish. Tell anybody, ish. Others exist. You are in the room. The people you are in the room with, they are people. Some of you, even when we told you that, bring your study group, you have not told them, your study group member. You didn't tell them. And some of you, when you told them, cry, you left it to them to decide to come because you didn't care. Is it true or it's not true? But if they won't come, they should be there. Really? We will pay for it, oh. We will pay for it, I tell you. Because the generation that exists now, as you are on campus, the winning of the souls on campus is in your hands. Not anybody else's. That's the only reason why you are here. that's why you are here and you are not in Lagos or Cape Coast, because God knew that there were souls to be won in KNUSD. And so he organized it and maneuvered it and said, let me take some people here, let them go there, some of my people, let them go there, and as they are there, let them work and win the souls for Christ. And you are here thinking that I'm here just for my first class. Come on. Come on. It cannot be. It cannot be. It cannot be that is why we are here. It cannot be. You have not thought about how useless our lives are without living for other people. Do you know why I say it's useless? You are born. You start to suffer from class one. Sorry, even before class one. KG nursery class. I mean, you start suffering. Are you there? Then you go JHS. Then you do BC. Suffering. Then you go SHS. More suffering. Then you finish. Then you come to campus. Then you do some course B from somewhere. Some of the courses cry. You wonder whether they were bred in heaven or in hell. And the course. And then it comes. And then you have to learn. And when you finish learning, we are now going to have a battle to get a job. And then you work. And after working, you get a wife. And after having a wife or a husband, you have a few children, a few ugly children who you are going to struggle to build. And all through life, you are struggling to pay their fees. You are struggling to look after them. Most of them are as ungrateful as you are to your parents and everything. And they grow up and you get old and suddenly you cannot move so well and you get sick and you die. What's the use of that? Even the life of a dog is better. If that was all that there is to life, then the life of a dog is better. Because at least a dog will be defending a house. A dog will be making sure that some thieves don't come in for somebody else. What is the use of that life? To just come, struggle and finish. And when you finish, all the things you struggle for, you leave them behind. What is the use? I ask you today, what is the use? What's the use of your suffering right now? What's the use of your 10 hours a day drinking coffee, putting your legs in cold water? What is the use? If you remove other people from it, what is the use? What is that suffering? And I'm not talking to you as somebody who has not gone to school before. Make you not bring yourself. I have to say it because there are some people here, you think that we have not gone to school before. Are you in the church? And I'm asking you, what is the use? Or you have not suffered? Me, I know what suffering is to go to school. I know what suffering is. Yes, I did my master's degree on one child. And I did my doctorate on another, and I was pregnant with the third. I know what suffering is. Yes. There was a time in my life I said that if God came and asked me, just ask me for one thing. I would not have asked for health. I would not have asked for money. I would have asked him, give me just one night. One night that I can lie down and I'll sleep. And then me, I'll wake up when I'm okay. That was my, because the thing called sleep, it was not in my life. Don't bring yourself at all. Are you there? You are very quiet. Yeah. And I'm asking you that if at the end of all that suffering, if at the end of it, I don't do anything, I'm just going to become Dr. Bruce, what? Research scientist, struggled, senior research, then principal research, then head institution, then we've paid you this and this and this, and when you finish, you retire at the age of 60, and then your bones grow old. At the age of 60, you understand that nobody needs you in this life anyway, and you are just there waiting for death to pay you a visit, and when death pays you a visit, you die. Useless. Have you seen that? It's useless. And when we came to school to church, and then they said we shouldn't go to school. Hey. The reason why we are doing it is because it is part of life. It's part of the curse that by the sweat of our brow we shall eat bread. So at least you are trying to make sure that it's not in a certain way. Because it could also be that you are just digging a trench outside and they'll be paying you by day money. That's all. But it cannot be the reason for existence. It cannot. And that's why today I'm telling you that others exist. You are here on KNUSD campus because others exist. Get it and get it well. And one day the Lord will ask you, what did you do with your 4 years or your 6 years? What did you do with it? What did you do with it? Lord, when I came, I was thinking I'll bring honor to my parents by getting a first class. I almost swore in God. Is that the reason why you are here? Tell your neighbor, grow up. grow up. It is not the reason. The reason you are here is because this is a gathering of 100,000+ unbelievers who God has entrusted to you and to me. That and only that is the reason why we are here. That's the only reason why we are here. Let me move on. Shall I have to close soon? Next slide, please. Our minds must be on others. Give me Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Just take it. Where is it? Philippians 2. Look at it. Can you read? Can you see it? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of what? Others. Let me see verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Are you seeing it? So our minds, the way our mind, yes, you are here, you have to pass, you have to do this, do that. But our mind must be on other people. How can I help? How can I help? Many of us, we don't have a mind to help at all. Very selfish. How will you not be miserable? How will you not be bored? How will you not be depressed? How will you not be unhappy when everything is about you? You have gone to do hairstyle that has cost what? Meanwhile, you don't have to look far to see somebody who is in need. Your roommate is right there. Your classmate is right there. Wickedness personified. This morning, why are they insulting us like this this morning? I gotta say it. If I don't say it, where will you hear it again? But when I finish school, when you finish school, what? When you finish school, it will be about whether you are married or you're not married. Your marriage or your non-marriage, that's what it will be about. Who is grateful that you are alive? Who is thankful that you came into their lives? Who? Please ask your neighbor and get a name. And if the name is only one, by now it should have been 10. Who is grateful? Hey. Shakarabasometea. Are you there? Are we changing? Is our mind changing? Somebody stop hiding your food. Share it. Share it. Share it with your roommate. Share it. Share it. Some of you are so wicked that when you are even in the study group and the thing is given to you and you have a set, you know that this is coming, you won't share it with the people. You won't say anything. Wickedness. We must spend our lives on people, on others. Take me to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 12, 15. Are you in the church? My dear, I'm so convinced that others are important. The day I die, nobody should cry. Shouldn't cry at all. Because then by then, I've earned the right to rest. Are you there? Look at it. 2 Corinthians 12, 15. Paul is speaking. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. You don't like me, but Charlie, I would rather spend myself on you. Who are you spending yourself on? And most of you only spend something on somebody that you want to get something from. Tell your neighbor, non-scoring, non-scoring, non-scoring. Non-scoring. Are you in the house? No, I told you to come with your study group members. Where are they this morning? Where are they this morning? This morning is normal church, so you didn't come with them. Where are they? You didn't care. Have you shared Jesus with them? You haven't. You are ashamed of him. You haven't. Don't go to hell and they'll be mentioning your name. Spend this. You never told me that the gospel was important. Yeah, but if I told them, they won't listen. Shut up and tell them. That's not your determinant. Hey. Mercy. In the church, we come because we have a need. Matthew 10:45. Tell our neighbor we must serve others. We must serve others. Matthew 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Wow. Are you there? It gets even more intense. Matthew 27:41-42. We must lay down our lives for others. Matthew 27. This is scripture we are reading. Look at it. Look at the chief priests. They were mocking him with the scribes and the elders. Continue, verse 42. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Sometimes when you are ministering to others, you can't save yourself. You can't help yourself. I mean, I'm not feeling well. Do you know the number of healing evangelists who stood there healing others while they themselves were not well? Tell anybody, your life is not important. Your life is not important at all. I want to share with you as we continue. You see, there's a story which finds it's actually a film now, but I want to take us to the slides of the Second World War. Many of us were not born at this time, but the Second World War was a time when a lot of wickedness was visited upon the Jews. The Jews who were in Germany, they were there. Then one day they were told, you don't have the freedom. You have to wear a star on your things so that we can identify you. And that was how they identified them. Then after identifying them, you'll be in your house. Then they'll come and say that, okay, this house, all of you out. It no longer belongs to you. And then they went to put them in ghettos. That's where the word ghetto is from. Yeah, they put them in ghettos. And these were places where, I didn't ask you to change the slide, my dear. These were places where they were, go back. Yeah. You know, these are places where they just lived there like animals. And they kept them there until they were done with the concentration camps. And then they started to move them. So this picture that you are seeing was taken in one of the most popular and the most evil concentration camps called Auschwitz. If you read many books, it's written about Auschwitz. It was not the only one. Take us to the next slide. Dachau was another one. When you go there, the purpose is that we are going to kill you. That's all. Yeah. The purpose is that we are going to kill you. Are you in the church? I'm telling you this story for a reason. We'll get to a point. Tell anybody, you know. There's another one. Treblinka is there. Let's see. You see, all this, they were treating the human beings like cattle. You won't bath, you won't dress, you won't eat. I mean, you are just removed. Yes. They'll take the children, they'll put them in bus loads, they'll make them sing rhymes. You know, they're taking them to go and kill them. You know. There's another one, Sobibor. Yes. Yeah, very depressing. If you watch films, sometimes they mention some of these places. You know. Yeah. The next one. This one is not so popular, but it was also a place. You know. And these places were there. And they had, by the time the war was ending, they killed 6 million Jews. And you see, you don't know how difficult it is to kill one person. So when you see 6 million, it was really something. Now, at the back of this, there is a film. Have you heard the film? The title is Schindler's List. Yes. It is a true story that has been put into film. In fact, me, mom, dear, with my lily-lipped life, I can't watch the whole thing. Yeah, it's not easy. But if you are a little tough, I think I recommend it highly. Now, Schindler was a guy who was German. Are you there? And after they killed some people in front of him, he was a German businessman, you know, and he had gone to ask for labor. So they gave him some Jewish laborers, about 100 of them. Because he had a factory that was making bullets. Uh-huh. Then he realized that, Charlie, they are slaughtering the people. He said, hey, this one is not correct, oh. This is a very evil thing. So he began to bribe the people. Then he'll go and say that, I don't have enough people for my factory. I need 400. Then he'll pay, knowing very well that the people, they couldn't even work. They were so weak, weakened from lack of food. But they'll give him the 400 people, and all he did was to give them a place to be. Then he'll go back. Are you there? Oh, I need 600 more. So that's why you should have keep move the. Huh? So that's why they call it Schindler's List. This is his actual list. These are the people who he rescued. Are you there? By paying for them. Then at a point, he said, I need some children. Because he realized they are killing the children as well. And he'll go and pay. And then they'll give him the children and say, ah, what do you need the children? I say, oh, you know, when they are making the bullet, there's some place that we need small fingers. No, well, it was just to be able to rescue some people. You see, I'm showing you how in the midst of, you see, this period was a period of unmitigated evil. Up until today, when you read the stories, you are shocked. Like you've heard it, but it's like, Charlie, can human beings be so bad? Are you there? But even on the back of that, this is somebody who knew that others existed. This was somebody, he was a millionaire. You see, the whole thing happened because when he asked for the first 100 people, in 1 year, he had made millions. Are you there? Then he discovered that they were killing him. So he now began to use the money that he had to rescue the people. This is what I can do. Maybe I cannot stop the whole war. Maybe I cannot stop all the killing. Are you there? The time came, he saved the people. 1945, if you know your small history, you know that that's when the war ended. But he knew by this time the Russians were closing in, so he had to flee. And that was when he began to lament. Are you in the church? He began to lament. If I had made more money, I could have gotten more people saved. Are you seeing it? I threw away so much money. This is his lamentations. I didn't do enough. The car, look at this car. Why did I keep the car? I could have gotten 10 more people. Why did I keep, he had some gold pin. Why did I keep it? I could have gotten 2 more people. Are you there? This was Schindler's mind. In fact, by the end of the war, he was so broke that it is said that he didn't even have money to buy fuel to put into the car to escape. And yet, instead of saying, I've wasted all my life, I've wasted all my money, what do I have? He was rather lamenting that I still have some things that I could have sold that would have rescued a few more people. Yes. And I tell you, all the people on Schindler's List, they survived. Yes. Are you in the house? Where he was, the Jews survived. And they say today that in a neighboring town, the Jews don't like Poland at all because of the whole war thing. There were only just about 400 Jews there. But the town where he was, over 6,000 of the descendants of Schindler's List, they survived. I thought you'd be clapping for him. Yeah. I'm showing you the effect of one person who is just sold out and saying that, let me do my utmost. Let me do my best. Let me try what I can do. And it was very dangerous. We are in a time when it's not dangerous. We can do better. We can do better. Are you in the church? Why should you help people? Because you can. That's all. You don't need any other reason. Not because you will gain something. Not even because God will reward you. Just because you can. That's enough reason. Why should I share my food? Because you can. Right in this church, we have people who have nothing. But there are people, you are looked after well by your parents. Then you blow them. Are you there? You see that you're very quiet. Anybody smile, Alawa? Your empty life. You have so much, you could have helped somebody who doesn't have a place to stay. Instead, let's go and eat some pizza. The pizza, when you finish eating it, I promise you 24 hours is in the loop. Then what have you done? What have you done? You have so many things, you don't wear them. The church is very quiet here. Some of you, I'll check your pocket. Yeah, but it's real. It's real. In this church, you should see us struggling to pay people's fees, struggling to raise money. Just yesterday, I was telling somebody, we have to raise the person's accommodation. We got to raise it. Yeah. But some of you could help, but if we come in, you will just be there. Why should I help? I'm giving you the reason. Because you can. That's all. Because you can. Because you can help. Today, if you don't remember anything, remember the name Schindler. That's all. Remember others. Remember Jesus. Are you in the church? Last point I want to give you. What was point number one? Others exist. Number two, our mind must be on others. Number three, we must spend our lives on others. Number four, we must live for others. Number five, we must serve others. Ask your neighbor, what are you doing to serve anybody? Number six, we must lay down our lives for others. Number seven,
We must use all the blessings God has given to us to care for others. If we did, our story would be different. Yeah. If we did, others would believe Jesus more.
Is it true or is it not true?
Hey, the way you are quiet, I'm just looking at you. Let's look at a few scriptures. I want to say to you that you need to change how you think. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. If you have come to the Lord and nothing has changed, this is why. This is why. Be not conformed. I wanted this in another translation. Let me see what the NLT says. You see, the KJT says, be renewed by the transforming of your mind. Look at this one. NLT says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, which is what we have spent our lives doing. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Until the way you think changes, nothing is going to change. I know people who even have money, but they live like villagers. Yes, because the way they think has not changed. The way they think is, I don't have. So they never give because they don't have. Meanwhile, even though they have, they can't give. Because the mind is some way. Are you there? And some of us who are here, you are born again, but you are with your original mind. When you got born again, your spirit was changed. I'm always showing an act on this, showing that your spirit has changed, but your mind is how it is. It's how it is. And that's why today I'm contending for your mind. Are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. As we end, I'm just giving you these few scriptures. In the King James. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You can be in church, everything is passing you by. Yeah.
Are you there? It's foolishness. The reason why it's passing you by is because it is foolishness to you. So when it's foolishness, as for God, he will never waste his time trying to convince you about something. No, he will not waste his time at all. He has done it. If you believe, believe. You don't believe, be there. Am I talking to somebody in the house this morning? Yeah. And then he goes on and says, when you are like that, you are just a natural person. And he says, you get nothing. And if you are in the church and God has not done something for you, he's not touched you in any way, not, you need to say, maybe I'm just walking around in my natural state. Yeah. Nothing will change until your mind changes. And today, I want your mind to change. And your mind must change that you are not the most important thing in your universe. Others are more important. Ajay, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. We are closing very soon. Galatians 2:20. Oh, I love this scripture by Paul. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I wonder if you can say that Christ is living in you. Is Jesus the one who in his wildest moments on the cross, he was thinking about others. Is he alive in you? And you are so dead. Are you there? Christ lives in me. Okay. And let's end with Hebrews 3:16. Hebrews 3:16. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Now, this was a scripture where he's talking about how people's minds were working at the time as they came out of Egypt. Not everybody believed. Not everybody believed. Even as they went through what they went through, not everybody believed. And you see that some actually provoked Moses. But you see Moses begging God. Are you there? It got to a point where God was fed up. He said, let me clear the people. Let me clear them. Then I'll do something new with you. Moses fell on his face. I beg you. I beg you. And he began to bargain with God. And he told God that, Lord, if you get rid of them, people will say that you took them from Egypt, but you couldn't take care of them, so you killed them. Most of us would have said, hey, they are too troublesome. Kill them. Kill them. They don't respect. Kill them. See your mind. See your mind. What's your mind towards that lecture? You remember the one we watched on the stage? You said that A is for him, B is for God if God exists. And that's what? So they should share the C and D, isn't it? They should share C and D. Then you'd have been cursing the person. Not so with Jesus, though.
Not so with the Lord. When Moses was somebody who gave his life. If you go and you read of the story of Moses, you see that at a point he had everything. He could have remained in Potiphar's and in Pharaoh's kingdom. But he said, no, this place here, it's not for me. It's not for me. He left. I have a mission. God is sending me. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And when even God who sent him, even God was fed up with the people, and Moses wouldn't let go. Still. They would say, oh, it's okay, kill them. Kill them. It's all right. They are too wicked. Kill them. Hey, am I talking to somebody this morning? Is something changing in your heart? I pray that you will spend some time to pray for yourself. You'll be a much happier person if you are affecting others. And I could go on and on. I've met people, you are a pastor's wife, God has brought some small child into your house for you to just take care of. You are beating the child, starving the child, and you call yourself a child of God, and the person is your mother, and you are also there. Hey, but what can I do? You can smuggle food to the child. You can become the child's friend. You can sort the child out with the allowance you are given. I'm talking to somebody, I have no idea who it is. Yeah, but you don't care. It's like, it's not my sister, it's not my brother. Not my sister, not my brother, but it's me, oh Lord. Hey! Church, we can do better. Turn to your neighbor, say, I'm going to do better. I'm going to make a difference to somebody. I said, by the time you are leaving this campus, somebody has got to be happy that they met you. Right now, it makes no difference. You go and come, just like, you know, sometimes there are a few animals walking through the campus. That's how you are. Like another animal that's come to pass. You have to leave your mark. And when I say mark, not the mark you leave on the toilet door. Josephine was here, Sam. Not the mark that you are leaving on the trees around a great hall. With a heart, Thomas and Doreen. Your head like Thomas and Doreen. But rather, when you are living here, it must be said, as you are collecting paper certificate, there must be hands clapping in heaven that when this one came, this one was changed, this one was affected, this one was fed, this one was looked after, this one was cared for. Then God will know that he sent you here for a purpose. Am I talking to some people this morning? Make a difference because you can. And God will surprise. Sometimes it's something small. I feel like I have not stayed so long on earth, but I can see a few lives that challenge. The life was like this, life like that. Yeah. I'm in the house. I opened my house up. I have all kinds. One day I counted. I had people from 16 different tribes. We're all living together. Yeah, eating together. By the grace of God, if I've not affected anybody, at least I'll count those ones. Whose life is affected because of you? And you have heard this message early in your life, early enough for you to make a difference. Are you in the house? And as for God, as you sort people out, he will sort you. I don't know the last time I had a meeting with God about my issues. I don't know. Yeah, he'll sort you out. Push your neighbor and say, neighbor, add this. Add this. Are you going to try? Ask your neighbor, are you going to stop just eating the food alone? You can see that the person is wearing wretched shoes to the class. You don't have to say anything. Just look at the thing. Spy the size. Buy one and just leave it for him. He doesn't need to know it's from you. God knows. God knows. Hey. You can see that she has worn the same dress the whole year. Oh, meanwhile, your cupboard is full of things you haven't worn. Charlie, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I want you to start to pray. I want to, I need to be more like Jesus. This is our prayer. I want to, I need to be more like him.
I want to, I need to be more like Jesus. I want to, I need to be more like.
That's why you're supposed to follow me. Not do what you want. Just lift up your voice and start to pray. Pick up the chorus and sing. And then come to me from there. Just pray for yourself.
I want to.
Lord, touch my heart.
I need to.
Help me to be more like you.
Like
help me to be concerned about somebody.
I
lift your voice
to.
And pray.
Lift up your voice this morning. Lord, help me. Lift up your voice. Lord, touch my heart.
Remember,
to be concerned about others. Oh, yes. Lift up your voice
down
this
his
morning.
Life for his friend. For a friend. Oh, I want to. I need to.
Oh, yes.
Be more like Jesus.
Lord, help us to be concerned about others. May we care for the next person. Oh Lord, even as you have come to give us a new commandment, that we should love our neighbors. Heavenly Father, help us love others. Help us be concerned about others. May the mind of Christ be in us, Lord. Oh, others, lift up your voice this morning and pray that the Lord will help you to be concerned about others more than your problems, more than yourself. More than looking at yourself and your issues. Lift up your voice this morning and pray. Lift up your voice that, Lord, help me. Help me love others. Help me love others. Help me love others. Lift up your voice. And you be concerned about others. Yes, my Shaman Amadenia. Heavenly Father, help us love others. Oh Lord, help us love others. Help us be concerned about our neighbors. Our roommates, our steady members, Lord. Oh, yes.
We are here this morning and you are saying, Lord, I'm far from you. Lord, I'm far from you. I'm not sure of my standing with you. I'm so far. But I want to come close. Lord, I want to belong to you. I can see I've just been thinking about myself. I'm not even sure that the channels are open between you and me. But Lord, I want it to change. If that is your prayer this morning, I want to invite you to come and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So wherever you're standing, as every eye is closed and every head is bowed, you want to give your life to Jesus. Just lift up your right hand. I want to pray with you. Just lift it up. And if, maybe I can't see where you are, but if you have lifted it, let the ushers and pastors help you. I want to pray with you. Just step out of where you are and come. Just step out of where you are. And come and let us make a change today. God bless you. Maybe you're not the only person.
Come,
you're not sure. You're just not sure. Just come.
Jesus.
Just come. It's Jesus calling you this morning. God bless you, my brother. Come and join
him.
You're just not sure. You want to be sure.
Today.
Maybe you've always been in church, but you're just not sure of the relationship. Come. One more time, your heart is beating very fast. That's a sign. Just come.
Come to Jesus.
Give him your life. Jesus is calling you at this time. In front here, just pray this prayer after me. Make it your own. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner. Please wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from my sins. Please write my name in the book of life. Lord Jesus, from today, you are my Savior and you are my Lord. I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Fountain of Life Cathedral, and on Instagram and Twitter at FOLCIUDIASE. God richly bless you.